אדוני שמע בקולי, תהיינה אוזניך קשובות וכל תחנוני. אם אמנות תשמעיה, אדוני מי יעמוד, כי עמך סליחה למען תברך. קיוויתי אדוני כבתה נפשי, ולדברו אוכלתי. נפשי לאדוני משומרים לבוקר, שומרים לבוקר. יחל ישראל אל אדוני, כי עם אדוני החסד והרבה מופדות, והוא יפדה את ישראל מכל עוונותיו. שיר המעלות אשא עיני אל ההרים, מאין יבוא עזרי, עזרי מעם אדוני, עושה שמים וארץ. היתן למון רגליך, אל ינום שומריך, הנה לא ינום ולא ישן, שומעי ישראל, אדוני שומריך, אדוני צלך יד ימיניך, יומם השמש לא יקעך, וירח בלילה, אדוני ישמורך מקורה, ישמור את נפשך, אדוני ישמור צאתך ובואך, מעתה ויד עולם. A Psalm of David, God is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing. He makes me lie in lush pastures. He leads me beside tranquil waters. He restores my soul. He directs me in the path of righteousness for the sake of his name. Though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. You will prepare a table for me in the full presence of my enemies. You anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows. May only good and kindness pursue me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of God for length of days. We're here to pay our final respects to Leon B. Messestrano. Devoted father and grandfather, Leon loved his family. Our Torah portion focuses on the families of the Jewish people and how they camped during those 40 years in the desert. Each family encamped with their flags according to their father's house. Each family according to their father's house. Whether that's talking about where each family sat in synagogue, whether that's talking about how family lives near each other, sometimes in the same house, sometimes next door, or on the same streets. No matter how far apart, or normally, in your case, how close your family camped together, this Messestrano family knew who the head of the family was. A patriarch. A leader. Leon was the oldest of four children born to Ben and Matilda Messestrano. He was born January 16th, 1930. The family lived next door, sometimes above and sometimes below Joe and Ida Messestrano's family. The two brothers, Ben and Joe, were closest in age, and they worked together, and they raised their families together. The teachers at school could never tell which of the kids were siblings and which were cousins. Leon graduated Garfield High School in 1948, and according to a close family source, he had an office job during his mandatory military service. Leon and his friends were the original wedding crashers. It was at a wedding that Sylvia went to where she first met Leon. Leon and his friends loved dancing and meeting young girls. Leon was a wonderful dancer, and he caught Sylvia's eye, and they began their courtship. And I heard this a few years ago. On one of their dates, Sylvia took Leon bowling. And she challenged Leon that the loser of the game would buy dinner. And so Leon looks up Sylvia and says, you know, I can't lose here. He was very happy to come the wager. But unbeknownst to him, Sylvia was an excellent bowler, having learned to bowl in high school. and she beat him handsomely. And guess what? She took him to the best and most expensive restaurant in town. Leon and Sylvia were married on March 10th, 1956, and they were married for over 62 years, and were blessed with three incredible children. Right here. Leon loved coming to Sephardic Bikur Holim for the holidays and sitting with all his cousins and uncles. The holidays were always split between Leon's family and Sylvia's family. Wasn't that the same family? No. I was trying to figure out some Australians on both sides. It's confusing for me, and I love family trees, but it's definitely, when you get two sisters marrying two first cousins, I was getting confused. There were always large and boisterous family affairs. I asked Leon's kids to share with me some traits that best described their father. And they told me he was patient, he was gentle, and he was kind. That he was a dignified man, and that he was very accepting of others. When we discussed what type of man he was at work, whether that was at the furniture business or managing the family-owned real estate, they said he had a great sense of business acumen. But more than that, he would go above and beyond to give people a break. He was compassionate and generous, almost to a fault. He knew intuitively, without being taught, how our holy Torah and sages emphasize the importance of raising up the poor and treating them with dignity. He also knew intuitively, without being taught, the value of family. How he demonstrated kibud em, honoring his mother. How he respected her and took care of all of her needs. He was so protective of all of his family, and to his sisters especially, after the untimely passing of their brother Eddie. Family was so important that as well as growing up surrounded by family, it was something that they continued to do long after living in the Central District. Now, this is the thing which you hear families, they say, oh, we grew up in the Central District, we remember it, and then everyone goes to separate ways. Everyone moves to different parts of Seattle. Not so. First, everyone moved to Seward Park. And he lived on Wilson Avenue, and only a couple doors down from his sister Nancy, and from his mother. And when everyone moved to Mercer Island, they all lived in the same condominium building. The only surprising thing for me was, not everyone lived in the same condo in Bellevue. Leon loved his grandchildren, and he was very active with them. He loved to come over, and he'd wake up his grandbabies, wake them up, during their naps. As they got older, he played with them on the floor, and as they got older still, the Sunday night get-togethers became legendary. All of the grandchildren would become a weekly fixture that no one would ever want to miss. Leon was very relatable with his grandchildren, and he was admired and appreciated by them all. Later in life, when Sylvia had her health challenges, Leon took on the responsibility of taking care of her, making sure she had the best possible care and that she was given the most dignity imaginable. I think this in particular, as well as the love of her extended her life for much longer than any of us thought possible. And it's this great man, whether it was taking care of his mother, taking care of his wife, taking care of his sisters, or taking care of his children and his grandchildren, that this is something where I look in awe and humility at the incredible things that the three of you, Bruce, Scott, and Marcy, your love and your support, your steadfast nature of being there for your father until the very end. It's often said that many of us have commandments, mitzvot, that speak to us more than others. There are commandments that come easier to us than others. But this sacred commandment, one of the Ten Commandments, is the one the three of you take on with the highest duty and alacrity. It's true that our Sephardic community values family as its highest value. On the parochet, on the curtain to the ark in our synagogue, it says, Kabet et avicha ve'et imecha, honor your father and mother. But even still, I think your family teaches us the values of selflessness, of putting your own needs to one side and making sure that your father was honored and had all that he could ever need. Only last week, I had the privilege of visiting Leon in hospital, and I watched firsthand as you doted on him. You know, there's a rule, only two people in the hospital room. Oh, with the mezzostranos. But even when the nurses would say, only two, they'd each give each other grace. Now it's your turn. Now it's your turn. Really, you go first. And just watching that, and I watched when the nurses actually let all three of them be in the same room, and they let me in there too. I watched as Leon whispered lovingly to each one of them how important the deep love, the affection, it's something not only for his children, but for their significant others. It touched something deep inside us, which, as I said, most people, when it's their time to pass, they don't have the ability to share that. And there are those who have the ability and don't have the inclination to see your father share those words and you share it back. Well, stay with me for a very long time, and something which we should all take that opportunity, that we don't have to wait to the end. I know this is something that Leon told them regularly. That's not something we have to wait. If we truly love those who are closest to us, take a moment and tell them how much you love them. When I was invited to Leon's home late Saturday night, maybe early Sunday morning, I saw an even bigger room of love personified. One of love for a husband, for a wife, but the love of children for their father and grandchildren for their grandpa. The scene that was etched in my heart taught me that more than this is a commandment from the Torah, more than this is something which our sages tell us is so with unlimited bounds for how we share it. The family showed me the power of unconditional generational love. There was no giver. There was no recipient. It was one just love hug being embraced there. And I'm just thankful that you allowed me as an observer, as a stranger almost, to come in and to be part of that. Leon leaves behind a family united in their love and their admiration for a true Sephardic patriarch, a man of our community, a man well respected, admired, but most importantly, deeply, deeply loved. Tehei nishmato tzura b'tzur ha'chaim. May his soul be bound up in the Garden of Eden, and let us say, Amen. We're going to hear from some of the family members. I'm going to ask Scott to come up first, and after Scott, we're going to hear from Cousin Jerry.
Thank you, Rabbi, for your beautiful remarks. You really, really captured him and you touched all of us. And thank you all so much for being here to honor my dad and to support our family. One of my earliest memories about dad is that on the inside of his dressing cabinet, he had posted the poem, Children Learn What They Live. Some lines of that poem especially resonate with me when I think about how he raised us. For example, when children live with honesty and fairness, they learn truth and justice. When children live with encouragement, they learn confidence. We weren't perfect kids. When we did something wrong, we'd hear about it from Dad. However, he never lost his patience. He would gently and thoughtfully explain the right thing to do, and he had confidence in us that we would follow that path the next time. He would give us the opportunity to try again and apply that lesson. A couple more lines from that poem. When children live with praise, they learn to appreciate. When children live with approval, they learn to like themselves. Dad was always building us up. He let Bruce, Marcy, and me follow our own paths, and he and Mom taught us to be independent and hardworking. I'd like to think that we listened and that it put each of us in a good place in our lives. Of course, however independent we may think we are, our parents certainly gave us a lot as well. A loving home, enriching experiences like summer-long Jewish and leadership development camps, educations, and much more to help us reach our goals and become who we are. Even more importantly, we were shown the importance of a close and caring family. Mom and Dad opened their home for our Grandma Mary after our Grandpa Sam died. Dad took great care of his own mother, our Grandma Matilda, after his father, our Grandpa Ben, died. His best friends were his brother, sisters, and cousins, and he was a very devoted husband to Mom for 62 years. My siblings are proof that the lesson about family was successfully taught. Bruce and Marcy, there can't be a better son or daughter than either of you. The love and attention that you gave Dad was instinctual and without compare. Thank you for all you did for Dad and Mom during the many years I lived in Washington, D.C., and for all you continue to do after Jeff and I moved here a few years ago. I'd like to think we jumped in where we could, but you had quite a routine going. I'm so proud to be your brother, and I love you both dearly. I also want to thank Dad's caregivers, Burfi and Sam. You were so vigilant and dedicated to his health. I know he was also committed to it and rarely complained, but even in the best of situations, it takes a lot of patience and skill to do what you did. You added years to his life and life to his years, and you enabled him to always maintain his dignity. Thank you again. Back to my dad. Everyone loved Leon. Anytime a friend or family member talked to me about him, they had such a smile on their face and happiness in their voice. How warm and sweet and gentle he was. What an amazing memory he had, recalling stories from decades ago. How he could remember the smallest detail of any business transaction. Of course, he also had perfect files and records to back himself up. And thank you, Dad, for that lesson, too. He was sharp as a tack to the end. Here's an example of everyone's love for Leon. When he passed, he had 22 people there surrounding him with love. Dad, on top of everything else, was a success in life. We're all so lucky that we got to have him for so long. Whenever my husband Jeff and I would leave Seattle to go back to Washington, D.C., Dad would tell us, take care of each other. So sweet and loving, so much respect for our relationship. Jeff, thank you for taking extra care of me during the past couple of weeks and for the love and respect you showed Dad. As he said in the hospital, you always treated him as your own father. It's a good thing for all of us to remember. Take care of each other. Dad, I will remember that and you forever.
Have you ever been in a hotel and you're up on the 30th floor and you wash your hands and you say, you have no idea how water got up there. I mean, water goes down, it doesn't come up. And or, you get in your car and you drive and, the motor, but, what do you know about a combustion engine? Or you flip on a switch and the lights come on, electricity, but I don't know how that works. But my cousin Leon did. He he was a sharp businessman, but I really think he missed his calling. He should have been like a mechanical engineer. He was so precise in all these things. You know, when you look at schematics, I don't know, after 2 minutes we don't understand it. Leon could comprehend these things. He, you know, might spend 20 minutes, half an hour, but he understood what was going on. He was very patient. Actually, you know, everything he did was methodical, very slow. And I think it was Don Rickles who said, if you see a Jew with a hammer, you know he's selling them. And, this wasn't the case with Leo. He knew how to fix things. When we had an issue at my house, a problem, my wife Rosa would say to me, you know, call Leon. Actually, she would say two things. She would say, don't touch it. And I would call Leon, and we would spend a half an hour trying to fix the problem, and then the next day Leon would come over to my house and fix it. Anyway, I am the youngest of the Mesostrano males of our generation, and Leon is 13 years older than me. And, you know, I'll explain how we got together, but, as you know, me growing up, Leon was my big cousin. I was, when I was a teenager, he was already married and had children. And actually, how we really united was in synagogue. Actually, the second day of Rosh Hashanah, it wasn't, he'd tell a rabbi, it wasn't really a religious experience. What happened was, I had myself, my cousin Bob Mesostrano, Barry Hassan, and Leon said, why don't we get together Sunday and play some tennis? And who would have thought from that day forward, for, I don't know, 25, 30 years, we got together every Sunday. First we played tennis, and then later we started playing golf. And whenever we played, we would then go to breakfast. And at the breakfast is where we, how do I say it, really bonded. We could talk about anything in our lives. What happened last week, what our plans was. We talked about our children. We used each other as sounding boards. It was almost therapeutic. We were more than cousins. We were a band of brothers. Later, like I said, we took up golf, and this allowed us to take two trips a year. We would have in the summer we'd go somewhere local, and in the winter we'd go to a warm climate. And in conjunction with him, that's where we one trip we took, we went to Gig Harbor, and I think it took more time to load the car than it did to get there. And when we got there, it was back to a crummy motel. I remember our rooms overlooked the parking lot. But we're just happy to be there. We'd have so much joy in being with each other. And each of us had a responsibility. I think Barry would book the accommodations. I would make the tea times. Leon was the treasurer and the driver. And Bob, I'm not sure what Bob was. I think Bob booked restaurants and did entertainment, whereas I don't know. I said Leon was a driver because this is way before GPS, and I think he was the only one who really knew how to read a map. And Barry wasn't bad, but I have no sense of directions. And Bob was even worse. In fact, I remember calling Rochelle, and I told her that yesterday we had Bob drive, and she said, are you kidding, Bob? And I said, yeah, so the first half hour was a little tough, but once he got us out of the parking lot, And another time we went to Phoenix, there's one of them beautiful and relaxing, the sun, playing golf, and it was just great. And then we went to the airport to come home, and we were told that our flight was canceled. In fact, all the flights to Seattle were canceled because of snow. SeaTac was closed. So we had to go back to our hotel, and each of us called our wives and we told them how much we missed them and our dilemma. And I remember Leon called Sylvia, and she was furious. And I don't blame her. You know, what had happened was all the power in Mercer Island, in the south end, had gone out. And poor Sylvia, here she is in this dark home with no lights, no television, and no heat. And she was calling Leon from, she was in bed with 10 blankets wrapped in her mink coat. And calling Leon, and, you know, and kind of, what can you do? So when we finally got home, and you see this picture of Leon here with that little smile or smirk. I'll never forget, he said to me, "Can we make a stop before we go, I go home to my wife?" And I said, "Where do you want to stop, Leon?" And he said, "Tiffany's." Anyway, Leon, like the rabbi, he was married for over 60 years. And I remember being at his condo, and on the kitchen table was a portrait of, not a portrait of, a picture of Sylvia. And every morning, he would get up and have his coffee or whatever, and I know he would look at that picture and, you know, share his day with the love of his life. And even though she was gone, she was still there, always in his heart. Leon, as he said, was an incredible husband, amazing father, his children and grandchildren. And his children, I can't even begin to describe how wonderful they were to their father. Bruce, day and night, whatever Leon needed, he was there for him. And Marcy as well, you know, taking care of the, whatever, caregivers, doctor appointments. When I went to visit me at a hospital, I think Marcy had spent 3 or 4 nights there. Just, you know, she didn't want her dad to be alone. All the grandchildren participated. A couple times I went and visited, and Sarah was there, his granddaughter. You know, Sarah, she's got a smile that can light up a room, and I know she was such a comfort to him. "What can I do for you, Grandpa? How can, what, you know?" And Rabbi mentioned the Sundays get together of a family. This was not an obligation. This is something they chose to do to honor the grandfather. They, you know, just surrounded him with love, and never seen a family that was so dedicated not to their mother and father. Scott and Jeff, we were there all the time, whatever was needed. Tom Hannon, what can I do to help? And I mean, they were just there. Leon, how did I say this? He was one of my best friends. He always was there for me whenever I needed anything. I would go to him for advice. He was more than my big cousin. Someone once said that when you lose somebody you love, there's a hole in your heart. You know, I know today the family is feeling that hole in their heart. And Leon, how much do I feel that hole in my heart today? And I love you, and I will miss you. Thank you.
Jessica, Aaron, Sarah, and Lyons come.
If any of you are wondering how my grandpa is doing right now, we're all sure he would respond with fantastic, just as he always did. When I think of my grandpa, one quality that always comes to mind is how he was an amazing connector. In his own genuine way, he built strong relationships with everyone he came in contact with. He felt lucky just to be speaking with him. He had a way of making people feel like they were the only and most important person in the room. He had an immense gravitational pull. It's hard to explain why or how, but when he stepped into a room, you could feel his presence, and you couldn't help wanting to inch closer and talk with him. He was someone you could trust and confide in. He wouldn't judge, he was just there for you, and was always ready with the perfect piece of advice and wisdom. When asked what the most important thing to do is, he would say, be good to everyone. And some of my favorite memories of Grandpa are when we'd go to the Starbucks inside the Bellevue PFC. He was an A-list celebrity there. Every time we walk in, all the Starbucks workers were so excited to see him. And every single time, we run into at least two or three of his friends. And that is not an exaggeration. I always loved watching how his eyes would light up upon seeing a friendly face, and how much love and respect they had for him, and how greatly he appreciated them. He was special. It's no coincidence to me as to how he became so treasured. Be good to everyone wasn't just a baseless platitude to him. He meant and lived it each and every day. Leon's strength as a connector is a big reason as why our family is so close. He always emphasized the importance of family and being there for one another. Him and Grandma rallied the troops every Sunday for our Mesa Strano family dinners. Really, any time there was an excuse to gather, he made it happen. As a result, our family has always been very close. And we'll have a stub with two younger sisters. I was blessed with three cousins, Justin, Brandon, and Lee, who I consider my brothers. If it weren't for Grandpa and Grandma always getting us together, they would just be your normal cousin. I'm eternally grateful to my grandparents for their role in strengthening those bonds. And when I think about how close our family is, I'm reminded of a Hebrew term Rabbi Hassan recently said, which is shal shelet, meaning continuing the chain. Rabbi used it to illuminate how Passover dinners are an event our families have been doing for 3,000 years. I thought it was a beautiful way to think about tradition and how we'll always be connected to those who came before us. And when I visualize our family chain, Leon's link will always be a little bigger than the rest. He was such an impactful role model who loved and taught us so much. And although he's no longer physically with us, through us, his spirit lives on. And his link in our ancestral chain reverberates through not only our own, but for generations to come. In his last few days, we all had alone time with him to tell him how much he meant to us. One of the last things I told him was how my life goal is to do as much for my family as he did for us. He set one heck of a bar, so it's not going to be easy to match him, but I'll do my best to achieve that goal and make him proud. One of the traits he passed on to us was problem solving and to never give up. He would challenge us with detailed treasure hunts and in car rides would pepper us with math problems and riddles. These were not easy, and I'd be lying if I said a tear was never shed. Even when we'd struggle or complain, questions too difficult, he wouldn't let us off the hook. Instead, he'd guide us through our missteps until we solved the problem. As young kids, we thought he was just teaching us math and quizzing us. But his true goal was far more impactful. He wanted to instill in us the ability to problem solve and persevere. You know, in life you're going to experience hard times and have obstacles to navigate. You can't just put your head in the sand to avoid them or complain them away. You have to dig deep, think, and find solutions to get out of that hole. In his own mathematical way, he helped us build those qualities, and we're all better for it.
It wasn't just these math problems in the car that kept us thinking. He also challenged us with treasure hunts and endless games. Whether I was 6 or 26, my grandpa never just let me win backgammon or posture. He pushed me to learn how to strategize and win on my own. At 12, he even gave me a 400-page book on the strategy of backgammon in hopes that one day I'd be able to beat him. He left an inscribed note to inspire me to keep working on my skills. Clearly this book didn't get much use, as even when we played a few months ago in Palm Springs, he still managed to kick my butt at 94. He wanted to instill in us the importance of challenging yourself to become the best version of yourself. To him, it wasn't about beating your opponent, but instead about always working to improve yourself. Even as he grew older and he continued to inspire those around him with his persistence to do whatever it took to better his health for himself and for those he loved, all without a single complaint. As much as our grandpa loved us, we loved him just as much right back. As I think back on the fun times we had with our grandpa, I realize that his patience and tolerance were some of the ways he showed our love for his adoration and devotion to us. Here are just a few examples. As young kids, every Sunday dinner at our house meant my sister and I were pulling out the Barbie makeup kit we were getting to work on the grandpa makeover. Starting with covering him in red lipstick and blue eyeshadow, then painting his nails sparkly pink, just like Grandma. And of course, our special touch, always putting salt and pepper in his hair, promising him he'd have hair that would last forever. Although I did often tease him that he had more hair coming out of his ears than off of his head. This one made us stop the makeover and laugh pretty hard. Grandpa really liked this one. Mari even went as far as plucking his nose hairs out individually. And my sweet grandpa never had the heart to admit how bad that really hurts. While he was sitting through his makeovers, or torture treatments, depending on how you think about it, he always had the biggest smile on his face because he knew how happy it made his grandkids. Just as Aaron spoke about how he could connect with anyone, Grandpa really knew how to connect and love his grandkids. From wrestling with us as kids, taking us to movies, supporting us at high school sports games, family trips with Grandma, meeting us for lunch while we were in college, and so much more time spent together. It didn't matter what age we were, from toddlers to angsty middle schoolers, and even now as adults. He has been a consistent person in our lives that we could lean on and play with. He knew how to meet us at whatever level we were on. Even during our hardest times, Grandpa knew how to make all six of us feel better with just a smile, a few words, and his legendary big hugs. My grandpa really did have a sweet spot for us and taught us that it's okay to break the rules sometimes, have some fun. Even when my parents and grandma could be tougher on us, he was there to encourage us to be silly, including at family dinners, even at the fanciest of restaurants. Us kids would get bored and make some gross concoction of ketchup, mustard, root beer, anything we could get our hands on. But grandpa was always there to play along and had the cherry on top of our mess. He could always laugh along with us, even if it meant that Grandma was going to get a little bit irritated with him later. He hasn't been gone long, but we already miss him so deeply. We'll miss holding his hands. We will miss our sleepovers. We will miss his stories. We will miss playing games with him. We will miss his bear hugs. We will miss his smile. We will miss the way that he could look at us from across the room and knew exactly what we were all thinking. And most of all, we will miss his undying love. Grandpa, I know you will always be looking down on us and giving us one of your famous wins from heaven. We will always love you.
Thank you all for being here today to honor the memory of our incredible father. Your presence means the world to us during this really difficult time. And this is probably the hardest thing I've ever had to compose. I did consider getting some help from my friends, ChatGPT and Copilot. But for the record, they really suck at real juice. In all seriousness, the reality is that there's no words that can truly describe how much I love, adore, respect, and cherish my father. My dad and I shared a bond that transcended mere words. And I always felt like I was the luckiest girl in the world to have him as my father. Friend, teacher, and confidant. I might cut some because we've been here for a while, so bear with me for a second. My dad taught us so much, and I will say I was super lucky. Sorry, guys, to be the youngest of the three because I got like 5 years without. Scott and Bruce in the house. I was very sad about having you there. But Scott went to college, Bruce moved to Miami, and so it was me. And so I got hours of time with my dad and my mom. But with my dad, I'd go down to his office with him and spend hours down there. I'd go to the apartments with him, watch him fix the toilet. I would just stand and watch. Or sometimes we'd even go for walks in Myrtle Park. He'd love that. And I just cherished those times. I learned so much about... kind of put me on his early path for like business acumen and let me like jump in and do some things for the apartments. Let me do some things alone, and I may make some mistakes, and while he wasn't super happy about it, he never focused on what I did wrong. He focused on what the implications were of that mistake and tried to show me the bigger picture so I could learn from that and not just tell me what I did wrong. He did try to teach me how to be a good give me the Mrs. Fix-It training. I do think I'm better than my brothers. But I never would meet the capacity of my father's Mr. Fix-It. No way. Beyond sharing his work ethic and business acumen, he also really wanted to make sure that we all knew the value of our time and that our effort put into things was really important. I won't go into all the details, but for some of you in the room that knew me in college, you know I wasn't really fond of going to classes. Somehow my dad had a sense that I wasn't going to class. I have no idea how. So he called me up, we went to lunch, he sat me down, let's talk about what it costs to go to college, and what do you think it costs for this and that? And I would say, and you're like, well, a little more than that, we write it all down. At the end of it, he was like, okay, let's do the math. I got more math problems. Here's how much it costs. Well, how many hours of the class you go into a week? Times how many weeks in a quarter? Let's divide the total by those hours. Oh my God, this is the cost per hour. Cost that you're attending. It's like, oh no, this isn't good. Really the reason why he did that is he wanted to make sure that I appreciated and understood the value and the opportunity my parents were giving me. It really was just that. He didn't want to make me feel bad, although I did. He didn't want me to leave college, although I did take a break. But that conversation is something I have thought about in so many other aspects of my life forever, and still today, and with my kids too. Sorry, kids, I do math anyway. After college and as I got married and Tom and I started our own family, the importance of family and all the examples he set for me would come to play in so many ways. Did my actions, my principles, and values for raising a family. A critically important aspect for my dad and for me is that no matter what, siblings and family stick together, look out for each other, and treat each other with respect, love, and integrity. My dad was so proud of how Bruce, Scott, and I have always been so close, and when things really matter, we come together as one, even one-faced, with the hardest decisions or actions. It's not that we always agree, but we always come to a compromise that works for us all. This is the example that was set for us as demonstrated by my dad and his sisters, Vivian and Nancy, and his brother, Eddie, as well as with my mom and her sister, Michelle, and her brother, Joe. My deepest wish and ask for my children is to carry this legacy forward, always keeping your siblings as your best friends, and always take care of each other. Before I conclude, I have a couple people I want to thank. Berkey and Sam, Scott really said it all. You guys have been amazing. You definitely added life to my dad's years. I love that statement, so thank you so much. Tom, as I reflect on the time I was able to spend with my dad, which was a lot, as many people said, over these past many years, I feel so lucky to have no regrets that I wish I had spent more time or done more for him, whether it was when he was at home or when he was in the hospital. The blessing of time I had with him could not have been done without your support, understanding, and also the true love and respect you have for our dad. You had to pick up a lot of balls when I'd be at my dad's, as well as deal with the uncertainty of what time I might come home, even when I said I will for sure be home at this time. It was always hard to leave him, and I thank you for your patience and understanding, at least 95% of the time. My dad loved you and was so happy with the family we raised. Our kids are who they are today because of you, the love they are surrounded by in our home, from both sets of their grandparents and our extended families. And Rochelle. My dad always referred to you as a sister and best friend. I don't think there are many brother and sister-in-laws out there that can say this, so it's pretty amazing. The unwavering love, care, and bond that you had with both our parents is unparalleled to anything I've ever seen. Your lifelong connection and loyalty to our mom was steadfast and true, and you have continued to be a pillar of strength and trusted best friend to our dad and to all of us. Even after my mom passed, you always took the time for your regular visits to see my dad, whether it was coffee at QFC or in his home. My dad always looked forward to your and cherished your one-on-one time he had with you. Even during this past year, when he struggled to get full sentences out most days, when you showed up, he would light up, he'd gain the stamina and the capacity to talk and chat with you for hours. He loved sharing back and forth about what the families were doing. He loved reminiscing about the past, never forgetting a detail or a person who was there. And I have to admit, I would hear this, I'd be super jealous, because I didn't get much out of him most of the times. But that aside, I am forever grateful for the time, love, and unfailing friendship you blessed our dad with. Thank you. And then my finger broke. Okay, so my dad's legacy lives on through the love he shared, the lessons he imparted, and the memories we hold dear. I am forever grateful to have been his daughter, and like to have had a father who loved unconditionally, who believed in my dreams, and you're showing me the true meaning of family. Thank you, Dad, for making me feel like the luckiest daddy's girl ever. Say hi to Mom for us. Rest in peace, and you'll forever be in my heart.
I just have something I'd like to read here that I'm going to get through it. I'm going to do my best. It's not long. Dear Aunt Vivian, dear Bruce, dear Scott, and dear Marcy, to begin, on behalf of my brother and sister, we extend to you our most sincere and heartfelt condolences to you and the entire family. Uncle Liam was our favorite uncle. We all have so many fond thoughts that keep flying through our heads. I would like to share with you my personal thoughts of your brother, your father, and my uncle. Uncle Liam would never have described himself as a teacher, but that is exactly what he was to all of us, in no order, but are all the same. Time he taught us to be kind, taught us to be thoughtful, he taught us to be understanding, he taught us to never give up, never give in. He taught us to listen instead of argue, he taught us to love and be understanding. He taught us to forgive, and to me that was the finest quality. Uncle Leon will be missed dearly, but never forgotten. There's a saying in the Navy, fair winds and following seas. Fair winds mean safe journey or good fortune. Following seas means as one departs on a voyage in life.